All right, so we are going to talk about some pulmonary diseases now. Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different things we're going to talk about, and this one is actually 2. So we got a lot to talk about here. So ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome. I kept threatening to talk about this, and now I'm going to make good on it. So it is a fulminant respiratory failure. What does fulminant mean? Who's got their little PDA already installed? And no? Okay, well, you have to take my word for it. It means sudden and deadly. Or potentially deadly. All right, so it is acute lung inflammation, and it's caused by diffuse alveolo-capillary injury. So the little capillary membrane that surrounds the alveolus is going to be damaged. 30% of all ICU admissions end up with ARDS. The current mortality is about 40%. So etiology. People most at risk are people who have sepsis, systemic infections, and multiple traumas. So who's most likely to have multiple traumas? Car accidents. Although we don't call them accidents anymore. Sometimes they're not an accident, you know. So now they used to call them motor vehicle accidents, MVAs. Now they call them motor vehicle collisions, MVCs. Yes, you got to keep up with the terminology, you know. Yeah, but anyway, so sepsis and multiple trauma is the most likely to get ARDS, especially if our trauma victim needs a transfusion. Transfusions increase the risk of ARDS. Other things that can also cause ARDS, pneumonia, burn patients, aspiration, there's that aspiration again, CABG, this is your heart bypass. CABG stands for coronary artery bypass graft. Pancreatitis, drug overdose, yay, smoking, oxygen, and disseminated intravascular coagulation. What is DIC again? Okay, clots all over the body inside the blood vessels. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the pathophysiology. Starts with alveolo-capillary damage. And that's going to cause pulmonary edema. The damage is being caused by two ways. Direct damage, so you breathe something in that harms the alveolo-capillary. Or indirect damage, which is damage from your immune system. Now, if we're talking the different types of hypersensitivity reactions, what one would that would probably be classified under? Immune complex. So it's collateral damage. The final result is massive inflammatory response. Neutrophils, macrophages come in and just destroy the place. Endotoxins are released by the bacteria. Complement is going around killing things. Interleukins are killing stuff. Tumors, necrosis, factor alpha is causing septic shock. I mean, it's just a war zone in your lungs. Okay, so we start off with alveolo-capillary damage. Can happen directly or indirectly. The indirect is caused by your own immune system, your own inflammatory response. All right, so here's kind of the sequence of events. We start off with the damage. Then we get platelet aggregation. The platelets stick together and form a clot. The clot attracts neutrophils. The neutrophils start the inflammatory process, and which attracts other stuff and causes further damage. That causes membrane capillary permeability, which allows pulmonary edema to happen. So now the patient has got inflammation going in their capillaries. The capillaries or the alveoli are now filled with fluid, so a person can't breathe in as well. The pulmonary edema and that can also cause hemorrhage as well. That's going to lead to vasoconstriction. Because remember, one of the things your body does in inflammation is wants to vasoconstrict the area so that the bad stuff doesn't escape into your bloodstream. The vasoconstriction causes pulmonary hypertension, which in turn makes it harder to pump blood through the lungs. This is just like what we call a train wreck. It's like everything that could go wrong does go wrong. Now, because blood flow is interrupted, surfactant is interrupted. When you don't have enough surfactant, you can't keep the alveoli open well. So compliance is impaired, harder to get air in and out of the lungs, which means ventilation is impaired. So this results in what we call right-to-left shunting, where blood returns to the left side of the heart without being adequately oxygenated. Makes it harder to breathe, and within 1 to 2 days, you get something called a hyaline membrane, which is just a membrane that forms over the bronchi. This makes it even harder to get air in and out. Within 7 days, the person dies, partly because you have progressive scarring of the lung. So the lung just turns into one big scar tissue. Now, there's associated problems. These are actually usually what kills people. You have systemic inflammatory response syndrome, which is where when you have all this inflammation in your lungs, the rest of your body says, hey, how come the lungs get to have all the fun? We want to have a party too. And so you begin to have inflammatory destruction in other parts of the body. Then we also have multi-organ dysfunction syndrome. Because you've got this inflammatory response, because you're having pulmonary hypertension, because you don't have enough oxygen getting into the body, because you're holding on to CO2, all the other organs begin to freak out and stop working properly. And that's called multi-organ dysfunction system. So the patient usually dies from a combination of respiratory failure, SIRS, and MODS. Whew, that was fun, wasn't it? Think you remember all that? You don't have to. You'll learn more about it in critical care, but you need to have a very kind of basic understanding of what goes on. Now, go ahead. DIC? The DIC just causes clotting everywhere. So if a person is more likely to clot already, then you know, they could get clots in the like a DVT or a pulmonary embolism. But just, you know, clotting everywhere slows down the blood flow and makes it harder to pump blood. All right, now what we do need to know are the manifestations. So in critical care, you'll learn more about this, but for now, we need to know the manifestations. Rapid, shallow breathing. Respiratory alkalosis, which would mean what? PaCO2, okay, I'm hearing high and low, so PaCO2 is low and lower than what? Lower than 35, so PaCO2 less than 35, marked dyspnea, I mean, the person doesn't have to tell you they're dyspneic, you'll see it. Hypoxemia, so you put the SpO2 on them and they're low. And then diffuse alveolar infiltrates. So you take an x-ray, and on the x-ray, the radiologist sees that there are alveolar infiltrates. As it goes on, as it gets worse, patient will begin to get crackles everywhere. They'll get metabolic acidosis to compensate for the alkalosis. Hypotension, patient will have low blood pressure and decreased cardiac output and eventually die. So, well, yeah. Final? It is final. All right, so diagnostic exams. You're going to do a physical exam on the patient. You're going to get blood gases and an x-ray. So the criteria to say that someone has ARDS is hypoxemia, bilateral x-ray infiltrates, and exclude cardiac pulmonary edema. So if they got cardiac pulmonary edema, that's probably the cause. But if they don't have cardiac pulmonary edema, they don't have heart failure, and they've got hypoxemia, PaO2 of less than 80, or if they have bilateral inflammatory infiltrates. So, treatment. Must catch early, because once the damage goes too far, it's irreversible. So, supportive therapy. Make sure the blood pressure is good. Make sure that they've got adequately have fluids, all of that kind of stuff. Prevention of complications. What is the major cause of all of these problems? What process? Inflammatory process. And so what kind of drugs do you think we would use to treat this? NSAIDs? Better? Do we have anything better? Stronger? Okay, you could use immunosuppressant drugs, but what's in the middle there? Okay, NSAID stands for steroids. Yeah, so steroids like prednisone and methylprednisolone would probably be what we would use for this. And again, you'll learn a lot more in critical care. So let's go back to rapid shallow breathing, respiratory alkalosis, marked dyspnea, hypoxemia, diffuse alveolar infiltrates. Now, which ones of those can you see? Marked dyspnea, rapid shallow breathing. That's it, right? Yeah, well, and you have to get an x-ray order, though. I mean, you go into the patient's room, you don't carry an x-ray in your back pocket. And maybe in the future you'll go. All right. Actually, you don't want that to happen, because then they'll have to teach you about how to read x-rays. So we don't want that. All right, so you go in the room. The person looks like they're having trouble breathing. They're breathing fast and shallow. You put a O2 sat on their finger, and their O2 sat is low. What you going to do? You're going to call them and do what? My patient's having trouble breathing. What do you want me to do about it? Is that a good thing to ask a doc? How about, excuse me, Dr. Cox, I would like a chest x-ray and blood gases. Now, so the three things that we have to keep in mind. A patient at risk for ARDS. That's the number one. Patient is at risk for ARDS. Number two, they've been doing fine, and now rapid shallow breathing, marked dyspnea. And you're going to call the doctor, and you're going to say, I think there's a chance this patient might have ARDS. I would like you to order a chest x-ray and blood gases. Now, what are we going to see on those blood gases that will tell us that this patient might have ARDS? Low PaO2, no C in this case. It's the oxygen level that counts now, not the carbon dioxide. All right, so low PaO2. And what on the chest x-ray would tell us this patient has ARDS?
Wait, low PaO2, so it wouldn't be lower than
35,
be lower than
80. Lower than 80, right. That's for the respiratory acidosis, alkalosis. This is going to be low because the patient's going to be breathing so quickly. But they're not. The reason they're breathing quickly is they don't have enough oxygen.
So they have
right.
CO2
and oxygen. Because remember, we said that carbon dioxide diffuses more easily than oxygen. Mm-hmm. So in this case, what's happening is they're blowing off carbon dioxide, but they're not getting in oxygen.
So we don't really care about the
right. Right. So in this case, PaO2 is going to be low. So hypoxemia, PaO2 low. Chest x-ray, what are you going to have? Infiltrates. So chest x-ray, infiltrates. Blood gases? Low PaO2. O2. Oxygen low. Infiltrates. Oxygen low, infiltrates. Oxygen low, infiltrates. Oxygen low, infiltrates. Oxygen low, infiltrates. PA what? O2, lower than what? 80. What are you going to see on chest x-ray? Infiltrates. All right, and the reason you have to remember this is because really at this point, this is what you're responsible for. If you're going on the floor in MedSurg 1, second half of this next semester, there's a very good chance you can get a patient who's just come back from surgery and has had multiple blood transfusions and is at risk for ARDS. And they've been doing fine. And then you go in to check on them and you notice, oh my God, I just can't get my breath. And what are you going to do? Well, you're going to tell your professor, and you're going to tell your professor, I think this patient might have ARDS. And maybe we should call the doctor and ask for chest x-ray and blood gases. And then your professor's going to say, oh, that's really great. Gosh, Dr. Heeman did such a good job of teaching you guys that. Well, tell me, what would be the results that would let you know that it's ARDS? And you would say, PaO2 less than 80 and infiltrates on the chest x-ray. And then they will just give you a hug and a kiss and an A. Maybe. All right. So, remember, that's it. So, that's what you need to know for the test coming near you. Who's at risk? What are their signs and symptoms? And what are diagnostic tests? All right, now, post-operative respiratory failure. After a person comes back from surgery, they're at risk for respiratory failure because they're laying down and it hurts to breathe. So if they've had back surgery, abdominal surgery, chest surgery, they're not going to want to breathe. So if they don't breathe, what will happen? The A word. Atelectasis. Now, people who are even more risk. Smokers and people with other lung diseases. People who have chronic renal failure because they've got elevated fluid levels. And lowered cardiac reserve. People who are at risk for heart failure or have heart failure. So what will happen typically is they start out with atelectasis, and that can move on to become pneumonia, pulmonary edema, and pulmonary embolism is its own thing, which we'll talk about when we get to the blood clotting section in a couple days. The best treatment for this is, so prevention. TCDB, what's the stand for? The country's best, no, that's not it. Turn, cough, deep breathe, early ambulation, and incentive spirometer. And oxygen as necessary. By the way, you need an order to give oxygen, so you can't just decide that you want to start oxygen on someone without an order. Now, early ambulation. The rule for ambulation is every post-op patient starts walking on day one post-op. So you have the surgery, you come back, you start walking the very next day. Very few exceptions to that rule. All right, obstructive pulmonary diseases. Now we're getting to the good stuff. We actually have three obstructive pulmonary diseases we're going to talk about: asthma, emphysema, and chronic bronchitis. Any disease that impairs airflow is going to be an obstructive disease. So when you hear the word obstructive, you think impaired airflow. So airway problems, trachea, bronchi. It can be in the upper or the lower respiratory tract. And what it's going to do is it's going to make it harder to breathe. It's going to take more energy to breathe, which is why people with emphysema are always so thin, because it takes so much work to breathe that they just have no energy left to do anything else, include eat. Typically, expiration is going to be harder than inspiration. So they can breathe in, but then they can't breathe out very well. What's that going to do to their lungs over time? You can breathe in just fine, but you have trouble breathing out. What's going to happen to your lungs over time? Hyperinflate. What's that going to do to a person's chest? Barrel chest. So, hyperinflated lungs, they're going to have dyspnea, and usually they will have wheezing. And the three diseases are asthma, emphysema, chronic bronchitis. Although we're going to talk about them, not quite in that order.